Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another episode of NBA Prospects Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your gracious host, Rob Bruin, along with my good friend, Troy Rose. What's the word, brother? How you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Another week, some more news alongside my good brother, Rob Bruin. So I'm ready to do this.
Absolutely. Just so everybody knows, we are available on all platforms. So which just pick your poison, whatever you like, hit that button and we can connect. So straight to the news. Breaking news at the top of the day, just about, I'll say, 30 to 40 minutes ago. Imani Bates, 2022 wing guard, amazing athlete. He's committed to Michigan State. This is a very, very big win for them. Ironically, on June 15th, all college coaches were able to reach out to the high school rising juniors, and Michigan State was the only school that reached out. I don't know how or why, but they're the only ones that got through and consistently have been a part of Imani Bates' journey so far. What you think about that, Troy?
Well, I mean, this may sound a little bit biased because, you know, I did graduate from Michigan State University.
You did.
So I love green and white. But to see this news of Imani Bates committing to Michigan State, man, I'm excited, man. He's a 6'9", small forward who can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can stretch the floor. So I'm just eager to see him team up with the young point guard that Michigan State has, Rocket Watts, and see those two combine that talent on that court. And again, like you said, I'm surprised that Michigan State was the only school that was heavily reaching out. I saw that they've been following him since he was in the seventh grade, and we can't sleep. He had other schools offering him, like Duke, like Michigan down the road. So for him to believe in the Michigan State family and for Tom Izzo to be so driven and show the support for this young talent, I'm eager to see him team up with Rocket Watts, be on Michigan State, and do his thing at East Lansing.
Yeah, that's going to be dope, man. I don't know what it is, too. Dior Johnson also, you know, not to take the spotlight off of him, but he's another one that's committed early to Syracuse. I don't know if this is a new trend. I'm not really sure what's going on. But for both of them to be so young and so early committing to these big schools is an interesting trend, I guess, that you can say we're starting to see off rip. So would you say you automatically have them making a tournament now?
I mean, Michigan State, I mean, they're pretty much a team that we know can be in the tournament, and they have the talent. They're losing a big piece this senior, Cassius Winston, now and hopefully potentially being in the NBA. So I think him coming in at this timing is so perfect. So to answer your question, do I think they'll be in a tournament? Of course. Do I think they'll be Elite Eight, Final Four, championship, and potential champions? I do. Go green. Go white. Green.
All right. We hear you.
Let's do it.
We'll see what they do.
We will.
Yeah, for sure. So the NBA prospects now, they're preparing, you know, for the NBA draft. Everybody has their workouts that they're continuing to do. Which draft picks or prospects, I guess I could say, are on your radar right now?
Well, the top two that come to mind who I'm so highly anticipated to watch for is Obi Toppin out of Dayton. He's a human highlight.
He's a sleeper highlight, bro. He's not a sleeper, but he could ball. He could ball.
Of course, ESPN has him number 7 on the draft prospect, so he's definitely up there when you're talking about top-tier talent and being NBA ready. So Obi Toppin would have to be one of them, but another one that comes to mind, again, this may be a little biased, but Cassius Winston I'm looking for him to be able to get out there and facilitate. He's such a true point guard. He reminds me a lot of Chris Paul, the way that he can control the pace of a game, the way that he can ball handle, and most importantly, the way that he can score. So those are two guys that I've had on my radar, and I'm really eager to see them play in the NBA and potentially get a shot at on a good team. Who do you have in mind? Who you been watching?
Before we even get to who I'm thinking about, you know that you being biased with Cassius Winston, bro.
Listen.
You know, listen. I'm not sleeping on his game at all. But in terms of the NBA, he's a great talent at the college level. But me and you both know if he doesn't up his game, he's easily going to be an average backup point guard. Easily. Easy. And you know that's true.
That's where we'll disagree, because I don't think Cassius Winston is a backup point guard. I truly feel that he has
in the NBA. Winston against Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving.
I say it again 3, 4, 5, 6 more times. I truly believe that Cassius Winston, and this is not just being biased. This is really based on the way that he plays the game. Are there going to be little tweaks that he's going to have to make? Yes, I think he's going to have to be a little bit quicker out there being able to facilitate. He's going to have to step up his defense, because the guys you name are not going to be easy guys to defend. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Kyrie Irving, the way that he can ball handle, Russell Westbrook, his speed, his size, his aggressiveness. So, of course, there are going to be little tweaks that he's going to have to fix. And I agree. You know, he's young. He's coming in. So he's going to have to step his game up. But he has the experience and he has the mindset. He's one of the few guys that is in this draft that's played 4 years of collegiate basketball. So I think that in itself, that experience, it does. So that experience, that knowledge, I think that that'll continue to help him grow. And I do believe that he'll be, I'm not going to sit and say he'll be all-star champion, anything like that. I don't know yet, but I do feel that he'll be able to hold down a solid spot in the NBA, whether it be a backup. I mean, I'm not going to be against that, but I truly can see Cassius Winston being the starter. There's a lot of teams out here that do need point guards. Let's not sleep, especially in the Eastern Conference.
This is true. That's a good debate. I'm going to get off your back on that one. I have to agree with
you. Bring him to Detroit.
Of course you would love for him to come to Detroit.
Bring him to Detroit.
Very biased. So I would say that I'm looking at, I need Cole Anthony to prove something to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a fan of his on the low. I'm not going to say he's overhyped, but I think the NBA is really going to test what everyone's been hyping him about. I mean, he's a great slasher. He's quick. He's explosive. He does get his team. He does get his teammates involved. I think I need to see a little bit more from him. I think he's going to have to really prove that to us. And like I was saying last week, LaMelo Ball, I'm very excited about seeing him. Very, very excited, because he's just ready for it, bro. I just know he is. He's so quick. His height, he's 6'9 now, so he's taller than all of them now. You know, and just being that younger brother, I think he always has had that chip on his shoulder. You know, I'm like, you the younger brother and you always have to play with your older brother. And it's like he's always been playing within this 4 to 5 year gap, you know, and that's automatically made him tougher. And now he's finally grown into his body and he's ball ready, bro. I think he's going to do it. So it's going to be great to see LaMelo. I'm very excited. If the Knicks even get a chance to get him, I hope they don't drop the ball on that. But, you know, that's a whole nother story within itself. So that's what I'm really looking at.
The Knicks are seeking coaching right now. So hopefully their mindset's in a different.
The Knicks are seeking everything.
They are. But I want to touch on what you said about Cole Anthony. I think that what you said is very valid, especially when you look at him. He was a player that missed a big portion of the season.
Huge portion.
So I think that that's going to be big for him to get out there, get those reps, get that experience, to miss the season, come back, not finish as strong as you could have. And then, unfortunately, this pandemic hit. So training has been a little different. Workout regimens, even some of the eating habits has been different. So I wanted to ask you, do you think that this whole situation as far as the pandemic and what we're facing right now and, you know, the stoppage of sports, do you think that this is going to have a big effect on some of these NBA prospects?
Absolutely. I mean, they're not NBA ready yet anyway. You know, the most games that I think that they play, I'm going to say between, they play like close to over 30 games within the regular season. And then depending on how far you go each round, I'm going to say that's like an additional, what, 8 games maybe? So they're playing close to 40 games. Yeah, they're playing close to 40 games a year. The NBA is that times 2.
Correct.
So that alone, the stamina that your body has to or is just, it's a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just a lot on a young person's body that's not used to it, which means they have to stay in the gym. They have to eat well, like you were saying. And it's going to be a huge shock to their body, you know? So can they do it? I think they can. Many have done it before, and I think they have the potential to do so. But what I'll say about Cole Anthony that I recognized was when I saw him in that ACC tournament play against Syracuse, I was a little worried because I didn't like the way he had a solid game, but he didn't take over. And that for me is he's the leader on the court. Yeah, it was a while since he, you know, was back playing, but he had a few games where he was back in. But mm-hmm. I think him not elevating himself to that next level really showed me that he still has a lot of room to grow. So we're going to see. I mean, Syracuse also, to their credit, played a lights-out game. So, yeah. I mean, it just could have been one of those games as well, too. So,
yeah, we'll just have to see and give him a little time. As you say, though, he hasn't had those reps, that consistency to continue to work and continue to develop. So I think, you know, we'll give it a little time, but you never know. It's in his blood. Some things just come natural for some. So hopefully we'll be able to see him in the NBA and he'll be able to handle things.
He's better than his pops already, by the way. No disrespect to Greg Anthony.
Hey, man, don't disrespect G.A. You know what I mean?
G.A., he was a solid G.A. backup. He was doing
his thing, too.
All right, man.
And you got to pay respect, too, because he's doing what we do now, too. So
absolutely. And he's good at it. Mm-hmm. He's good at it. No knock. I don't.
Holding it down over there on TNT.
That's a fact. Big shout out to Greg Anthony. Now, Draymond Green has been real vocal about college players being compensated. Here's a quote by Draymond Green. He says, "My entire family would have missed a huge amount in my life. And why? Because the NCAA suppresses all the rights for college athletes." Now, Troy, this is a very, very big topic. You know, these athletes, their blood, their sweat, their tears have been built on these organizations. How do you really feel like the NCAA can do a better job? They can just treat the players better as a whole, compensate them. Many of them come from impoverished areas. Their families are struggling. You know, what can the NCAA do to put the players in a better position?
So when you look at the NCAA, who has 45,000 athletes, but then you look at the NCAA and they're a $1 billion institution.
Easily $1 billion.
But only 12% of their revenue is compensated mm-hmm. for athletes. So I think if they're not going to rewrite the rules or allow these players to get compensated for their performance, I think you should start allowing these players to seek outside employment. You should start allowing them to have employment. You should allow them to be able to make money off endorsements. And it not be in the rules, be not written by them. Because you have to understand, when it's business, especially when you're dealing with the NCAA, the rules are always going to be written in their favor. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if we're going to allow these players to be compensated, allow them to seek outside employment, allow them to work, because working mentality is good. You have to know how to maneuver and work, not just on the court or not just on the field. So allow them to seek employment, allow them to get endorsements, and most importantly, keep these kids covered when it comes to health insurance. These kids put their blood, sweat, and tears on the line for, at a moment's notice, an unfortunate injury can change their mm-hmm. entire circumstance. So I think those would be three key elements I think that the NCAA should focus on: allowing these kids to work, allowing them to be compensated and seek endorsements, and keep these guys on health insurance so that their longevity is worth, you know, continuing to move forward with, especially for the universities, because for some athletes, sports is only a 4-year thing for them. Five, exactly. Six, maybe at the most.
That's so, the thing. Mm-hmm. That's a big.
So you have to allow them to enjoy that to the best of their ability, especially when these schools are making millions and millions of dollars each year off of these players. So I think those would be the three things I would say seek if you're going to allow these players to be compensated.
Yeah, that's really important. You touched on some real good points as well. And just to know that, you know, organization really cares about you. It's like you were saying, mm-hmm. like about the guy that's all the way at the end of the bench. I mean, he may not be as important on the court, but he deserves it. He's putting in the work as well, too. You know right. what I'm saying? And I know they were trying to figure out at one point in time what the compensation would be, whether the best player on the team versus the guy that doesn't play as much, would how much money would each of them get? I mean, that's tough to say, but I don't know. I feel to me to make it equal, it should just be a flat rate so that there's no mm-hmm. – just the person that's not the best on the team will really just really benefit from that situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it should be a flat rate if they do choose on a certain number just to keep all of the, you know, political views and things away from it, because that could get real touchy.
So to piggyback off what you said, so if they do allow it to be a flat rate, I think that that will work in the favor of okay, so you will have an athlete who may be a bigger name or bigger player than the other players on the team. So,
but then they still have endorsements, so they're going to make exactly. more money anyway.
Exactly.
So you can't complain about it because mm-hmm. everyone gets $500 a month. That's just what mm-hmm. y'all get. Now, the guy at the end of the bench isn't nice, so he's not getting endorsements, but he gets mm-hmm. the same amount as the best player does. So I feel like it's just the easiest way to go.
I agree. I would have to agree. And I think Draymond made some valid points. You know, you see these athletes, they come from tough areas. They come from poverty and certain situations. Like now, we look at the country going through the pandemic and the loss of employment for a lot of kids and their parents. I think that that will be big to allow some sort of comfort for those players to know that, you know, one, I'm appreciated, and two, that I can be compensated for the blood, sweat, and tears that I put into, you know, my craft and to this university.
Which is very important, man. That's their job. You know what I mean? So it's real, mm-hmm. real pivotal that the NCAA really takes care of these athletes. They do a lot for these organizations. And without these athletes, these organizations wouldn't even be able to pull in the type of money that they're making. So
correct.
Hope the NCAA really figures that out. And big shout out to Draymond Green, you know, for being vocal about this. This is a great platform for him. That's a fact. And super shout out for him when he was
go Green. We got a lot of Michigan State love going on today, man.
Nah, that's a fact. Shout out to Michigan State, man. They're killing it right now. All right, and now we roll down to the top 10 programs of all time. According to the College Basketball Scout account, you know, we have a few teams on here, 10 to be mm-hmm. exact, that are the best of all time. So just to give you guys a quick rundown, we have Kentucky, UNC, which is North Carolina, Kansas, Duke, UCLA, Indiana, Louisville, the great Michigan State, UConn, and Villanova. So, Troy, give me a couple of, you know, great moments that you remember from these illustrious schools.
Okay, so I'll just start with the top one. The top one was Kentucky. So it would have to be that 2011-2012 team that they had with Anthony Davis, Terrence Jones, Marcus Teague. You know, they were a team to be reckoned with. Anthony Davis, we know the talent that he possessed and the way that he was able to dominate. I think he actually led that year in block shots, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he got busy that year.
Yeah, he did. Terrence Jones played well, a good small forward, power forward position. So I think that 2011-2012 year, to see the way that they played, the chemistry that they had, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Fab Five in the 90s a little
That's
bit.
That's how you feeling?
They had a little flair. They had a little style, but unfortunately, they didn't win. You know what I mean? They were good. They were good. Like, you couldn't deny them, and they were a team that a lot of people had in favor to win, but unfortunately, they weren't able to make it to the championship and win. So I think for that, you know, for Kentucky, that would have to be one of my top memories, just watching Anthony Davis and that team coached by John Calipari just kind of take the season by storm. But yeah, but unfortunately, they weren't able to, you know, come out.
Yeah, when I think of Kentucky, I think of John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, the Marcus Cousins, DeAndre Liggins, Patrick Patterson.
Okay, PP.
Yeah, it's that's when I was low-key a Kentucky fan for a little bit. My heart was broken. I believe they lost to Mississippi in like the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 or something like that. And John Wall, he was just a great college talent. Great, super fast, quick, elite. Like, I think John Wall had the best hype coming out of high school as well, too. That young man was fast. Unfortunately, he suffered a lot of injuries. But he's still an elite talent. Yeah, a lot of knee injuries. He's an elite talent, though. And I can't wait to see him get back to a healthy standpoint. So to slide to another school, I'll start off with UConn. I think UConn was a great movement with Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier, you know, Kemba.
Hey, don't leave my man Jeremy out of there. Back. Don't leave Jeremy Lamb out of there.
My bad. You're right. Jeremy was fired too.
Yeah.
Yeah, UConn really held it down for a while, especially in the Big East. And that was great for Kemba. Salute to him. He graduated in 3 years as well too. Got his degree just like he told his mother he would do. And yeah, Kemba was, he was a dog coming out of UConn.
So since we got one more, I mean, I guess I can slide down. I think it's number seven. I don't know how they this far down, but Michigan State. And this one's recent. This one goes to last year. I would have to say it was big. And unfortunately, the season was cut short due to the pandemic. But to see Cassius Winston return and play with his team after the loss of his brother who died in an unfortunate incident, and to see the way that he returned to play basketball and the way that his coach, his team, and the whole East Lansing community rallied behind him and the team, and to see him to fight through that and the way that he was still playing at a top level, playing with so much on his shoulder and so much on his heart, I think that, one, it was emotional, but I think it showed a true testament of his character, and it showed the type of family that Michigan State has when you join that go green, that go white. So I think for me, I think that was a big moment last year to see Cassius Winston come back after the loss of his brother and to, you know, keep their name going and to keep that bond that they had, that they shared, because they both played basketball. So to keep that bond and that chemistry and that love that they have going due to a so unfortunate situation, I think that really stood out for me last year as a big moment at Michigan State.
Yeah, that was a huge shout out to him. He showed a lot of resilience and tenacity in that moment as well too. It was a sad moment, but he bounced back. He had a good game when he played as well too. Yeah. So that was real dope to see. So I got to ask you this as well.
Talk to me.
What is your favorite Ballers Life mixtape of all time? Who's your favorite?
Well, look, man. We just talked about him. And we hoping that he can get back to this level. Mm-hmm. But when I think of best Ballers Life, I can't help but think of number one, John Wall out of Holy Cross, man.
Yeah.
Like he, without a question, easily.
His mixtape was nasty.
We can stop the discussion after this one, bro, because I respect Akil Carr. I respect Austin Rivers, just to name a few. But John Wall has the all-time best Ballers Life mixtape. If you guys haven't seen it, you're not a true basketball fan. But if you haven't seen it, go watch it. John Wall, without a doubt.
I can't disagree, but I can tell you one that's close. Austin Rivers was
different.
His step back moves, his spin moves with the dunks. He had me so hyped coming out of high school. I'm not disappointed, but I guess maybe the NBA is just really that tough because. Mm-hmm. His level of his talent when he was in high school was just, it was unmatched. You know, even when he went to Duke, you know, hit a couple of game winners in front of his pops court side, you know, he did his thing. So Austin Rivers had a mean Ballers Life mixtape as well. I can't knock him by any means.
No, without a doubt. And though I don't pick him for my best Ballers Life, he's definitely on the list. He was definitely on my list for my favorite moment at Duke when he hit that game win.
That was nice.
He shot step back three in front of his pops.
Yeah, yes. On the right wing too.
Respect. Yeah, man. Come on. And it's so. And I love the way that Duke's courts is set up because it's so unorthodox where their benches sit. So it was so crazy to be able to hit that shot in front of his pops, get that love from his team.
It's a great moment.
Most importantly, get that victory.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a young great in the game right now. He's doing his thing. Everyone's very excited about him going into his sophomore year. LeBron James Jr., you know,
Bronny.
He tweeted this weekend that he's a whole different person this year. What do you get from that? I mean, I haven't heard that he's grown any. Last I checked, he was about 6'2". But Bronny has promise. You know, he played behind Zaire Wade and Amari Bailey. So I think he had a solid freshman year, to be honest with you. The summer just started, so there's no telling if he will grow. And if he does, it's just going to make his game better. But I'm very excited to see him step into his game because I think he's going to get way more playing time this year. I think the best moment for me watching him last year was when Sierra Canyon played against St. Vincent St. Mary in front of his pops. He got the MVP for that game. He showed out. He had a lot of good finger rolls, and he didn't start, but he ended the game, and I think Bronny's ready.
I agree, but again, sometimes you need to see it more than hear it. So if he's going to be different, if he's coming out of a different bag this year, I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it, you know, because there's a lot of young kids that's coming out of different bag. I saw a comment about a week ago from Dior Johnson who said he would love to face off against Canyon. And would love to face off against Isidro with Mikey Williams. So though that's kind of a conflict of interest due to the CIF, the California Interscholastic Federation, where they don't allow regular schools to play against prep. But I need to see it because there's a lot of young kids that plan on coming out of a different bag this upcoming season. So I'm glad that he's talking well. I've been seeing him play more games than I've seen him in the gym personally. I've seen him play more video games than in the gym. But sometimes, again, I said earlier, sometimes kids are just a natural talent nowadays. These kids are just freak of nature. So they can go through this whole quarantine playing the game, Call of Duty 2K, and then lax up their shoes and give somebody 30 to 40. So we'll see.
No, I can't disagree with you more on that. That's going to be – and something I'm noticing too is like all of these kids, they real – buddy-buddy with each other. You know, they clicky. They like to hang out with each other. So, I mean, Dior Johnson, he seemed like he has a little chip on his shoulder, if you ask me. But we'll just have to wait to see how that reveals itself. So now we switch to the NBA, and Adam Silver is, you know, he has a couple of quotes out about why he feels it's important for the NBA to resume. I'll start with his first quote. "We're going back because sports matters in our society. They bring people together when they need it most." His second quote also was, "We are left with no choice but to learn to live with the virus. No options are risk-free right now." Heavy quotes. I think that I'm not in the vote of having the NBA back because, like me and you have spoke before, I know it's all about money. They're not going to say that, but you can tell by the way things are happening that it is. I think it's safe just to call the season quits because it's already in June. We're already in June going into July. And I would just hate for somebody, not to say one player is more important than the other, but I would hate for LeBron or Kawhi or James Harden to get sick because it completely shifts the narrative of what the playoffs would look like. And they've just been in quarantine with their families for so long. I feel it's kind of like a forced narrative in a way. It's like they're trying to make this. And now the NBA is going to be shaped in a different way for, not forever, but for a while now. You know, so them playing until like September, October is just going to be awkward. And 16 players have already tested positive for it. I think that they should just leave it alone, even though they put a lot of time and effort into it. I think it's really safe to be, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Adam Silver. I do feel that sports does bring unity. It does help us unite. But I feel like at times it also becomes a distraction, especially when you have big issues at hand, like that we're going through right now with the unjust treatment of police officer against African Americans. So I think, you know, sometimes it is good and it does help create that camaraderie, but I feel like it also becomes a distraction. So again, like I said last week, if things were to get put on pause as far as sports, entertainment, and music, I would be for that because I feel like my equality is a little bit more important than me sitting at home being able to watch or call a game. I feel like me feeling comfortable when I get in my car and I drive, and if I get pulled over or if I encounter a police officer, I feel like that comfort and that equality is a little bit more important than sports as a whole right now. So I would love to see the NBA season start back. I would love to see LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. I would love to see those guys, but those are also the same people that I've seen marching and standing up for these type of equalities and these fair treatment. So I think for me, I would love to see things kind of be put on pause, maybe call the season and then resume next year. But right now, like you said, money needs to be made. So people have to get back to work and business has to go on. So if the NBA chooses to continue on and move forward, then, hey, we'll be there to cover. But if not, then we'll be here to march and support.
I have to ask you this, too, before we get out of here. Do you think that the players should feel any less than because it seems not that their health isn't important, but it's not being put first?
Correct. I'm not going to say that because at the end of the day, players have an option. Mm-hmm. If players don't want to play, they cannot play. We've seen players opt out and not play. You know what I mean? We've seen guys say that they're not going to participate or be in the bubble. So I even recently saw Lou Williams saying he was 50-50 of if he was going to do it. So yeah, there's an option. So it's not that it's not important because these players have the right to say if they want to participate or they don't. But I feel that some players and the business aspect as well, some players are just very driven and just ready to play basketball. You got to think this is their bread and butter. This is their livelihood. This is what they do. So some players are just ready to get back to the game. And as we see, like some of these guys, they're not like I named James Harden, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard. They're not struggling financially. Thank you, Jesus. They're not struggling. So they don't need the money. They don't need the financial gain. But I think they also understand that it's a business. And I feel like that platform that they have being basketball, that could also tie in and feed into the equality and the justice in which we're seeking for, because they have a big platform that they can utilize. And it just so happens to be the NBA.
Absolutely. I can't agree anymore. And lastly, the NBA looks to replace last names on the back of their jerseys with social justice statements. Do you think that this is a big thing or not?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I think that it kind of gives players their own voice and their own say-so on how they feel in the situation in which we're facing now with the inequality and the justice that we're seeking. So I think that's big, but it's a start. You know what I mean? All players may participate. All players may not. So, I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's nice, but I feel like your voice is a little bit more important than what you have written on the back of your jersey. So I think that it's hearing these guys and seeing them out there is going to resonate a little bit more with me than just having a quote on the back of their jersey. But I think that it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a dope concept, but they just need to really pay attention to the bigger matter at hand, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't say like the NFL is a different brand, but at least I can say that in the NBA, they're willing to hear it, you know? So if that's just one of the cool things that they feel is good to make a part of the NBA culture, then I'm all for it.
Of course, man. It gives us a voice. It gives us a platform. And obviously the NBA is a big one. So I think that'll be, again, a stepping stone, but I don't think that will help solve the problem. So again, I think that is nice. I think that it's intriguing that you give them that opportunity, but we need to see a little bit more of people's voices and their actions standing behind it, not just quotes on the back of a jersey.
Oh, that's a fact.
So as we wrap up, I want to thank all you guys for tuning in. From the NBA Prospects, I'm Troy Rose alongside my guy Robert Bruin. And again, we want to remind you that we're on all platforms, whether it be Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube's coming soon. And again, you guys can follow us on social media. On Instagram, I'm TRose__9966.
And I'm at It's Rob Bruin, ITSROBBRUIN.
And you can also follow us on Twitter. I'm Troy, TROY, 2x2x TIMES.
And mine is the same handle for Twitter as well.
So as we wrap up here on the Believe Network, we want to thank you guys again. And we'll be tuning in later next week around the same time. So make sure you be there and you be a believer.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.